Welcome to Federal Insights for July, discussing the future of work, sponsored by Verizon.
4G communications is really about providing a great IP telephony and broadband cellular services and access to those services. Most folks are familiar with the 4G capabilities of today with their smartphone applications that include mobile web access, mobile video teleconferencing, and video playback. A couple other examples include, you know, email and collaboration capabilities. Big time is about getting your email. However, I want to kind of pivot a little bit and talk about COVID, because as we found with a lot of application, a lot of technology, COVID has really provided us a test lab. Although we didn't really want to use it for that, it really helped us with the test lab to be able to develop new capabilities and bring them and harness them. And collaboration was one of those, where we were able to utilize Microsoft Teams and bring that capability into the forefront and allowed remote access while folks were out of the office and working from home or in quarantine or whatever the case may be, and allow greater collaboration during that time period.
So it sounds like, and you know, I just wanted to ask a little bit more about the COVID situation, that, you know, you were able to adapt and kind of overcome some of the issues that COVID brought in because you had these remote technologies and were able to even work in areas where maybe broadband access was not necessarily available.
Oh, absolutely, Scott. And, you know, just as fast as the pandemic reached us, and we had to react to that. In just the same fashion, we were able to react very, very quickly. We were able to move everybody from off of a military installation or off a government network and be able to provide access either through the government network if they're in the office, through VPN access, or through their personal networks, and be able to connect in multiple different ways, again, to collaborate. And we were able to really kind of bridge and tie multiple different networks together, which is really going to be part of the foundation of how we move into the 5G arena.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking, I think that's a great segue. Speaking of that, you know, moving into the 5G area, what sort of benefits is the Army seeing right now? It's in a very nascent stage compared to what it might be 10 years down the road. What is the Army planning right now? What is it working on with 5G? And what is it hoping to accomplish in these, you know, coming, let's just say, you know, within 2021 and 2022?
Well, again, these are exciting times, and we're going to get a chance to really test new capabilities and look how we can harness those capabilities and bring those to create greater efficiencies and capabilities across the Army enterprise. You know, we're talking about an improved bandwidth, greater bandwidth. We're talking about a new architecture that's going to really help us bring new applications into bear, and where we have a lot of applications that are networked more individually right now in the 4G environment. We're talking about in a 5G environment where we can actually interconnect those types of capabilities, you know, from that range from training to sustainment based on the installations to tactical operations. And so that really can bridge multiple different domains and environments, and which is really exciting for us as we look to create these opportunities.
And what does that offer you in terms of the national defense strategy? You know, the Army has to keep its eye on two near-peer competitors as well as, you know, lesser competitors as like Iran and North Korea, and then also extremism as well. You know, you are looking at trying to interconnect a lot of weapon systems and make them more interoperable in ways that they can share data. How is that helping you in a completely different threat landscape than you've been working in the past 20 years?
Well, Scott, that's a great question. And I will tell you that we'll leave the threat analysis to the Intel folks and let them address that piece. But, you know, as we do take a look at the security posture we have across the Army. And that's one of the things we're looking at as we're looking to improve our capabilities. Because, you know, as we've seen through the course of the just the last 6 months alone, cyber attacks have become more and more prevalent. And we've seen those in the news against with the attacks against critical infrastructure areas. And so, you know, security in all forms is critical to protection of our soldiers, equipment, our installations, and our information. The advent of 5G will bring a portfolio of new capabilities, and that will help us create a security posture that will protect that information, because the protection of the information is just as critical across the board, across the force.
Right, right. I want to ask you a little bit about bases. It's something that I think is one of the areas that people can see and notice 5G the most when it comes to it being implemented. There's, I believe, about 12 bases that are doing experimental 5G test beds. Can you tell us about the Army's work with this and you know, what you've been implementing with these networks?
Oh, absolutely. And again, that gets to be it's some of the exciting areas of discovering an opportunity that we're looking to improve. You know, down at Joint Base San Antonio, they're working with telemedicine and telemedicine type applications, as that installation is the center for Army and DoD medicine. JVLM is set up with a training environment to utilize alternate reality, virtual reality type training capabilities that we can bring into a training environment. We're looking at NTC to talk through how we're going to do command post operations and tactical operations. And we're looking at vehicle type applications that are scheduled for Fort Hood. So there's a lot of opportunity that we're bringing into bear as far as testing and opportunities that will not only affect our tactical operations, but then can merge out to build out our operations on the installation as well.
And could you go a little bit more into detail about maybe the autonomous vehicles, especially, or, you know, just some of these technologies that you just talked about? You know, they're really exciting and they have a lot of potential applications to them. Would you mind just maybe just describing exactly what these sorts of technologies are doing, what people might see if they were standing on a base and seeing these things happen, and what benefits they would provide to the installations?
Okay, well, certainly, absolutely. So 5G as a whole is nested within the overall Army modernization effort. You know, there's across different capability sets, the Army's looking at how we can best modernize our capabilities. And this increased connectivity, and we're really talking about the network, because the network brings everything to bear. As you mentioned before, a lot of things are networked now and are rely on the network to communicate and operate with each other. And this increased connectivity has the potential to create greater efficiencies and greater capabilities. So one example that I use that has already been tested at Fort Carson is an autonomous shuttle, where there was a proof of concept that was done where there was actually a shuttle in place running autonomously, no driver, around a small loop. And so they're working on, which is not really part of our 5G demonstration per se, but that's what's happening. This technology moves really fast. We're looking at opportunities where we're going to test and experiment with a lot of capabilities, and we're going to see things grow and come out in operation and testing through other venues. And so this is what's really exciting. Again, we have an opportunity to bridge and bring everything together from what's being tested and what's being implemented and put out there, so we can have an expanded and a strengthening our enterprise network.
And it's not necessarily just the technologies that the Army is using. It seems like personnel are going to be able to use 5G who are living on the base or just working on the base. What sort of change do we see to our phones or to other devices as they connect to this 5G network?
Well, you know, Scott, it really goes to connectivity, and it provides soldiers greater access to those things that are critical. You know, we're talking about personnel records. We're talking about medical access. I mentioned telemedicine before. As we've seen through the COVID environment, to be able to connect with a provider has been essential, critical, especially when we need to work on the distancing and social distancing aspect of the COVID piece and make sure we remain as safe as possible. So telemedicine is just a great example of the capability we're talking about and greater access. And as we increase and expand the network up and the components that make up the telemedicine capability. And so, again, that's being tested and this set up to be tested in the near future down in San Antonio. And we're looking forward to seeing what those results are over the course of the next couple of years.
And I assume this would also probably help with just simple things like streaming television or, you know, watching Hulu or Netflix, just, you know, simple morale and welfare type things as well, too.
Well, absolutely. And so I'll go back to the training environment. Over the course of the last 5 or 6 years, units have created YouTube tapes and videos of training capability and training opportunities, and give soldiers access. And so provided it on there. So that's another application, another way of we can provide training opportunities and connectivity to soldiers using multiple different venues and different applications. So it's not just for streaming videos, but it could be also for training and service-related applications as well.
Right. And you mentioned some of the important technologies that are already being tested and worked on, like the telemedicine. I was wondering, you know, what you saw in the farther future as some possibilities once we have some of this infrastructure built in, once the networks are set and secured, and we have some of the best thinkers starting to think about some ways that they can use 5G, you know, what sort of applications and force multipliers can be created through this?
So we're looking at this from a holistic point of view, Scott. And so I will tell you, the emerging 5G technologies will offer enhanced capabilities and the potential to interconnect soldiers, equipment, and weapon systems in new and dynamic ways. You know, we see great opportunities to enhance the command posts and command post operations by tying autonomous vehicles, both drone aircraft as well as unmanned platforms and sensors, to integrate autonomous and robotic platforms that set the conditions to provide greater protection for our soldiers, and while at the same time maintaining agility and lethality. From our installations and our sustainment-based operations, you know, we're smart warehousing is one of the test beds that's being put together by another service. Although, again, once the capabilities are proved out, then those capabilities and results can be incorporated into the Army infrastructure, and we can look at those opportunities as well. And I mentioned the shuttle bus service on the installation at Fort Carson already. Again, and there's opportunities to expand that as well. So at the end of the day, it's really about improving the environment for not only our soldiers, but our family members on their installations as well. And so it's really an exciting time to be a part of what's being tested and what's coming down the road as we look to incorporate technologies being developed, the capabilities that are being developed today and into the future and as they come along.
A lot of Army leaders have likened the bases, once they have 5G, to these sort of smart cities where there's a lot of sensors that are checking security. There's different microgrids that can keep everyone in the loop with all their different devices and sorts of things like that. You know, can you maybe talk a little bit about the security of the bases and what might be able to be connected in there? And then, you know, other ways that the bases are integrating just everyday life within the network?
Well, you can just walking around our bases today, you can see how they've been improving over time, you know, from the service that they provide the family members and the soldiers to, you know, the PX, commissary, shopping, recreation. All that can be self-contained within that environment. And again, we're talking about how we monitor utilities, how we provide utilities, how we provide services, accessing information, you know, Wi-Fi, creating a grid where you can walk around and be connected is all some of the things that we see today, you know, with cafes and access in the commercial world. And so we're looking to bring a lot of those capabilities into and build out the installations. Again, not only from the support side of the house, but from the operational side of the house as well. And again, that also helps us enhance security by interconnecting sensors and capabilities that will help add applications that will also help protect and secure the installations.
For 15 years, the Federal Community of Government Managers, Executives, Appointees, and Contractors has started its day with me, Tom Temin, host of The Federal Drive, our daily program of the latest headlines and interviews with people behind the news, your go-to source for information about everything from IT to pay and benefits. Be informed, stay informed. Start your morning with me, Tom Temin, on The Federal Drive. Listen on air on the Federal News Network app and on Spotify.
And then, you know, speaking of security, going in a little more toward the cybersecurity of things, you know, obviously more devices that are connected, the more of a surface area there is to attack. You know, how is the Army taking into account the amount of devices that are coming in, the way it's just thinking about cybersecurity within this new realm of networking?
Well, cybersecurity is first and foremost the paramount of things we do, especially when we're talking about protecting soldiers, our installation, our information, our operations, all those things that come to bear when we're talking about running our military installations and our networks. We're really talking about authentication. We'll be able to authenticate the user and the sender and the receiver across the board. And that really implements more of a zero trust type architecture in the environment. And what that really means is that we're making sure we secure networks, all types of networks, because with the 5G architecture, you're looking at bringing a lot of different networks together and really enhancing and creating that security posture. So let me use an example, and banking is one of those type things that we're all familiar with. When you log on to your bank account and your bank, you log on and the first thing they do is ask you for a phone number or text or to call you or text as far as send you a security password. They're authenticating you before you get into the information that's contained within your account. And this is along the same lines of that. We're looking at implementing these types of strategy and capabilities to enhance the security posture of our networks and our information.
So, when it comes to the individual soldiers, what might they see that's different? You mentioned the two-factor authentication, zero trust. But, if you're a corporal, and you happen to sign into your email or anything like that, are you going to start noticing anything different? Or are these things that are mostly under the radar type changes?
Well, again, we aren't necessarily looking at seeing drastic changes because, again, already, if you're a corporal, you're going to be like everybody else who's a user, an authenticated user on the Army network, is that you're going to plug in your CAT card and you're going to authenticate. That's the first thing to allow you access to the computer. Then you're going to authenticate again before you get to the information piece. So there are layers that are already embedded and built in, and we're doing that now. So, again, it'll just be an extension of that capability, and the authentication process will carry through. So soldiers, I don't believe that the soldiers are going to see anything more drastic. With every time we change a software package or upgrade the network, there are little tweaks that take place, and those are fairly well learned very, very quickly.
Right, right. I wanted to ask, along with cybersecurity, the supply chain is also very important, where these networks come, the boxes come from, the hardware come from, all those sorts of things. The DoD has implemented the CMMC and a couple other, blacklists of certain companies and things like that. How does the Army kind of vet the way that it's looking at the companies that it's bringing in for this 5G sort of capability?
Well, again, when we talk about security, we're working very closely with industry partners, and we're working very closely with across the government. And again, a lot of that vetting takes place, through multiple different means. The intel community, for example, as well as the our vendor selection process as that goes along. And so we work them very, very carefully to make sure that we're taking a look at where the equipment is coming from.
Right, right. As you said, you've been working with these industry partners. What sort of dialogue and opening are you keeping with them to make sure that you're stressing that, you're trying to work with them as best you can for procurement? How are you trying to, because at this point, a lot of these companies are the ones that are the forefront of innovation compared to DoD. DoD is trying to jump onto a lot of the good innovation that these companies are doing. How are you keeping up with their information? How are you keeping your ear to the ground about how they're doing things and ensuring that you can get on contract in a way that works for both sides?
Well, that's an interesting question, Scott, because, we're actually working very closely with our industry partners and have been for some time. For example, right now, I'll talk about the fact that the Army is currently in the middle of this largest 4G LTE investment with the fielding of FirstNet capabilities to support first responders of 72 installations across the U.S. and Puerto Rico. This provides, again, with today's technology, greater enhancement to provide first responders to be able to collaborate and be able to work together utilizing their networks to in the response to a disaster, an event, some sort of thing. We have vendors that are helping us with, again, I mentioned the medical community, again, providing opportunities for access Wi-Fi type access at our hospitals, VA hospitals especially, to help our veterans connect and get information, as well as provide an environment for collaboration. And so there's a lot of work that's already going on, which then this allows us to keep abreast of what companies are doing. And then as we work together through the course of the experimentation piece, we get a chance to work with the with our vendors and see what they're able to provide. Because a lot of times, again, they're developing as fast as technology is allowing them to. And really, I would kind of allude to the fact that the 5G environment, there it's almost like the electronic version of the Oklahoma land rush, where we're all trying to move and migrate to provide capabilities and develop capabilities that are out there and latch on to where to those capabilities that will provide us greater operational efficiencies and capabilities.
I think that that's a great segue into the next question, which I was just wondering, what are your biggest challenges right now? And as you move forward, you know, what sort of things are you going to have to kind of suss out as you begin to implement this more and more within bases and pilots start to become actual programs of record?
Well, that's part of the exciting piece, again, is that this is providing us an opportunity to test a variety of capabilities and use cases and scenarios, and to allow us to see what's going to work and to see what we can pull into and integrate. And the other exciting piece, especially from the Army's point of view, is that we are threading all of our experimentation and use cases to ongoing programs of record. So there's a lifespan and a connectivity, connective tissue to those programs, where we can then pass along those capabilities that pass the test of the experiment and can then be incorporated and developed into current programs, network, and support the Army modernization program across the board.
And we only got about 3 or 4 minutes left here, Doug, so I just wanted to just ask you a few final questions. You know, what are you most proud of? What do you feel is most successful in this journey so far? You know, I know that 5G is fairly new, but it's been worked on for quite a while. Mm-hmm.
It is. And I think for me, the excitement is the fact that we get to bring, develop some new capabilities and enhance our enterprise network and enterprise architecture and provide that greater capability, not only for the installations, but for the soldiers. And that has it has the ability to provide support for the sustaining base, as well as tactical operation and everything pretty much in between. And we're really looking at being able to move and enhance greater technology and capabilities. Because again, at the end of the day, that's part of not only the Army modernization effort, but modernization across the DoD as well. And as we create, you know, joint environments and joint bases where we have multiple services interacting together, we're talking about how we interconnect not only our equipment, our devices, our network, but also our services as well. So again, it really provides us an opportunity to really make a quantum leap into the future and develop capabilities that really will enhance operations across the board. You know, again, it's really about, at the end of the day, where our program is to serve, you know, the soldiers, the communities, and really bring out the fact that we're going to support tactical operations, our sustaining base operations, and our strategic operations all across the Army. And again, it's really exciting to see how the test environment is really pulling the service together to take a look at these capabilities across the net.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights for July, sponsored by Verizon on Federal News Network.
Here's Brian Campo from the Department of Homeland Security on the Federal Executive Forum's Profiles in Excellence, spotlighting chief technology officers, sponsored by Hitachi Vantara Federal.
We're always trying to mature our zero trust. I think I've talked about in the past, you know, sort of our 2-year forecast for zero trust. One of the things that'll be really interesting is bringing data into the zero trust fold.
To listen to the whole program from Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsnetwork.com Search Federal Executive Forum.
Hitachi Vantara Federal is built to support your mission and vision. We empower federal agencies in the digital domains that matter most: the data center, tactical and strategic data operations, and digital transformation. We bring together an unmatched portfolio of edge-to-core to cloud infrastructure, AI, and analytics that enable our customers' digital missions and propel our nation forward. Let us accelerate your data journey from infrastructure to advanced analytics. Contact Hitachi Vantara Federal today at HitachiVantaraFederal.com.
Splunk's data-to-everything D2E platform drives fast, confident decisions and decisive actions through powerful real-time insights to ensure mission success. Here's Juliana Vita, Chief Technical Advisor, Public Sector with Splunk.
Let's say that there was a breach at some agency. Well, what happens? Oh, well, let's set up a war room. Okay, then somebody from each department, they go in that room and they shut the door and they all point fingers at each other. They say, oh, it was the network people, or oh, it was the patching people, oh, it was the security people. And they waste time and energy trying to figure out whose fault it was that could be used actually fixing it or mitigating it or figuring out how to, you know, move beyond and kind of get back to the mission. Well, when you allow that data to do the work, we call it at Splunk finding mean time to innocence. You know, you can now stop pointing fingers at each other because you can let the technology do the work so you can execute on the mission.
Splunk helps agencies turn data into doing. Learn more. Visit splunk.com/public sector. That's splunk.com/public sector.
Here's Bobby McLernan, the Vice President for Federal Sales at Axonius, on why asset management matters for cybersecurity. Sponsored by Axonius.
What we've tried to do is help our customers aggregate and correlate that data from those tools, making it accessible and actionable to securely find it and land on that single source of truth to get to cyber compliance.
Listen to the entire panel discussion on Federal News Network. Search Axonius.
Axonius takes a radically simple approach to cybersecurity asset management. By connecting to the IT and security tools agencies already use, Axonius collects and correlates information about the hardware, software, and users connected to agency networks. Gain asset visibility, discover security gaps, automatically validate and enforce security policies, free up your cybersecurity resources. Learn how to empower your security team with cybersecurity asset management at axonius.com. That's AXONIUS.com.
Here's Aaron Heffron, the president of Market Connections on Market Chat, bringing clarity to the clutter in government marketing.
In a demonstration, it seems much more personal, and you can create that sort of connection that with the individual by providing them content. I mean, they may want the product demos, but as part of those product demos, they really want the nuts and bolts of what does it mean.
Listen to the entire discussion at federalnewsnetwork.com. Search Market Chat.
Government Marketing University is an innovative learning platform that applies a collaborative, community-based approach towards knowledge sharing and skills development in the field of public sector marketing. Experts from all corners of the U.S. public sector marketplace, marketers, thought leaders, government, media, and sales, are contributing their knowledge to this unique, content-rich platform. Government Marketing University offers training, research, certifications, mentoring, and community resources all in one place. Learn more at gmarku.com.